All right, well, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. And this is not on Christmas. This sermon is called The Days of Lot: Sin, Complacency, and Our Duty in These Days. What God expects from us in these days, and what God expected in Lot's time. What God has always expected in these times. And really, I want you to understand this from a biblical perspective here. I think it'll help you. I really do. I believe it will. Otherwise, I wouldn't preach it. But the Lord just laid it on my heart, that days of Lot. And I started looking at that and started thinking about comparing some things about that. And thinking, you know, there's a lot to that. What in a few verses, the Lord said a lot about what was going on within the days of Lot, and comparing them to the days of Noah and to the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. When Jesus returns, and when I want to kind of show you all the comparisons, some comparisons, certainly not all of them, but some of these comparisons of the times. And understand what God expects always from His people, the principles that He expects always from His people, and what they always face, no matter when it is in time. But there are specific things that happen at different times that take place that we have to stand up, or we have to fight against, or you know, just the wickedness of the time. So we're going to kind of go over that here tonight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray You bless us now. Help us in Your word, Lord. Help us to be the people of God that You want us to be, Lord. Strengthen us, use us, Father. Use this to feed Your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse number 26, please. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Wow. Very sobering words. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Don't you like how the Lord gives us two witnesses here? He gives us the witness of the days of Noah, and He gives us the witness of the days of Lot. And let me tell you something, that wasn't by accident at all. In fact, He does it again, and I'm going to show you He does the same thing in the New Testament. In another portion of the New Testament. He gives you those examples back then in the Old Testament. He comes in chapter Luke, and then another apostle gives the same examples again. Why? Because God is trying to drive something home to you. Amen. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God is trying to drive something home to you, and I think if you'll see it tonight, it'll help you. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Sounds like America? But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The days of Lot were very interesting days. We're going to look at a few of these things. Not as much as the prophetic nature of it, or when things are, timing of raptures or anything like that, but the comparison of the times that we live in, the time of Lot. And my goal is to help you to identify these days, and also what your duty is in these days, what God expects from His children in these wicked end times as it relates to the times of Lot. You know, God makes a comparison here. Jesus makes a comparison here between Lot and Noah's days, because they're very similar times, very similar. Noah was a sincere man walking with God. Listen to this. I find a great comparison here. Listen to this. Noah was a sincere man walking with God. He was wholly consecrated to His service, separated from the evil world. With Lot, it was different. Lot was a just man, vexed at the sinfulness around him, but this is almost all that can be said of him. There is nothing very lovely in his character. He was weak and selfish and a moral coward. Think about that. And that's what Lot was. There's nothing, you know, when people try to compare their Christianity, well, don't forget about Lot. I'm like, okay, I won't forget about Lot, but don't you forget about Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Go back and listen to that. Remember Lot's wife, okay, that sermon. But, I mean, remember Lot's daughters. Remember the incest. Remember the drunkenness. Remember his life ending up in a cave, right? On a shelf, not being used by God. That's right. And we're going to talk about that, how about his days in Sodom too. So, I mean, why would you want to compare your spiritual life? Why would you want to defend your spirituality? Why would you want to defend that with, well, Lot was saved. Look at Lot. Wow, pathetic. Pathetic. I believe Lot was saved, absolutely. Bible says he was just. That doesn't mean that I want to model my life after him. Yeah, is that your standard, is Lot? Come on. If you even had to defend your Christian life with that excuse, or you were doing that, that ought to show you how absolutely either backslidden you are or lost. How absolutely complacent with sin around you that you are. It's ridiculous. All right, Genesis chapter 18, verse number 20. Number one, let's say this. The days of Lot were days of evil and sin abounding. They were days of evil and sin abounding. In Genesis chapter 18, verse number 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. God said the cry of Sodom is great because of their sin. And it was grievous to the Lord, absolutely grievous to the Lord. He was grieved at his heart over the sin. You know, that must have been pretty bad. That sin was rampant and terrible. Yes, these were wicked, perilous times in the days of Lot. I think it's interesting that God said he would go down now and see. God Almighty said, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to see what's going on myself. Now, obviously, he's God. He didn't have to do that, right? He could see it from up there. But this shows you how God was grieved and he hated their sin, that he actually, in a moment of time, he went down there to see what was going on. To see it face to face before he destroyed it. God said the cry of Sodom is great because their sin is very grievous to the Lord. You know, there was another time when God came down, when Nimrod tried to rule the world. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 7. Let us go down now. Let us go down and there confound their languages that they may not understand one another's speech. So what did he do? God said he was coming down. He's going to go down there and he's going to confound their languages. When it gets so bad, that's right, God comes. That's right. When this earth gets so bad and iniquity and sin abound in this earth, when the fullness of sin comes and the fullness of that time of sin comes, he's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. That's right. That's right. That's right. The fullness of the wickedness. You know, sin must be rampant when God has to come. God comes down to see it. And yes, Sodom was the most wicked place on earth at the time. And we know from the biblical account that God said that he would destroy them for their sin is very grievous to the Lord. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 12, a comparison. In Noah's day, in the days of Noah, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You know, when will God say enough is enough with this sinful generation? When will the wrath of it, his full wrath be poured out upon this world? How long before God takes a good look at the sins of this world and comes down? You know, these days of Lot were days of homosexuality, just like in the days of Noah, I believe. Times of corruption upon the earth. When we compare those days of Noah, we see these days are upon us now. That the days of Noah and Lot are comparable today. How bestiality was going on in those days. All flesh was corrupt. All of God's creation was corrupted. You know, it's got to be pretty bad when men want to rape angels. But you see, that's what homosexuality, I believe they're devil-possessed. We've talked about that. But I believe they're devil-possessed men, and I believe the reason they have a desire to destroy innocency. They have a desire to destroy that. That's what it's about. That's what homosexuality, that's what child molestation, all those things, they want to destroy the innocency. That's what Luciferians do. They want to defile that which is pure. They defile it. These were days of violence and rape. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 11 says, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Do you realize that these men were blind and they were still trying to find the door so they could go in there and rape those men? Yeah. Do you understand the absolute depravity and devil possession of the day? Do you understand how absolutely wicked that is? That you are struck with blindness, but you have so much wickedness inside of you and so many devils inside of you and so much evil inside of you that you still try to go after that purity even though you couldn't even see it. But you're still trying to get in the door. Those are the days of Lot. How long before we're in those days here? You think about it for 1 second. When I've had men look at me when I'm out there preaching homosexuals and other you guys have, and they say they want to rape you, and they tell you openly they want to rape you. And by the way, this isn't even in front of a gay bar. This is right just down the street preaching. And they said, yeah, willingly or unwillingly, I don't care. Get it? Devil-possessed. Haters of God. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Then you find in Genesis 19, verse number 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." What are they, days without natural affection? Aren't we seeing it now, these absolute days without natural affection? Genesis 19, verse number 8, "Behold now, and Lot." Don't you think this affected Lot's life? Look at Lot here. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 8, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." What's the matter with him? Are you insane? Why, what would you do? Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd stab that queer right in the heart before he'd get my daughters. I'll tell you exactly what I'd do. Really don't care if you like it either. If you don't like it, I got a problem with that. It's kind of weird. Because I don't know why you'd give your daughter over to somebody like that. I'd kill them before I'd let that happen. You better believe I would. Every single last one of them. So that's evil. No, it's not. It's called protecting life. That's what it's called. By the way, do you think that they would have stopped? Do you think that they would have stopped at those girls if those angels weren't there? They'd have beat that door down and killed them all and raped all of them. What do you think stops them, the homosexuals today, from doing it and the evil of this world today? Just some restraint of the Holy Ghost that's still there. A 45 helps too. Yeah, there's still... Right, they can still be punished. Lawlessness is not abounded yet. The man of sin has not appeared yet. Yep. Well, it does happen in other countries, by the way. It's happening all over the world right now. Raping little girls, raping children, kicking doors in and doing all those things. It's happening now. Don't talk about that. That's too real, preacher. Sorry, that's reality. We're in the days of Lot. We just have some protection here right now. God is... protected us. Muslims all over the world. Yeah, and they're sodomites too. They rape men too, and little boys. They're from their Catholic mama. It's a little too real for you. Somebody better be. We're in the days of Lot. We're here right now. We're seeing it right now. Right in front of us. What's the matter? You know, what happened to Lot? He was compromised. No power, no boldness against sin. A squeamish, wimpy believer that had no power. You know, I just laugh. I'm sorry. I chuckle because I know these people that don't like strong preaching like this, that can't handle straightforward things. They're not contending with evil. They're not doing it. That's why they could be at ease in Zion. That's why they're complacent. But if you get out in this world and you see how wicked it is, you won't be that complacent. You better understand the times, friend. Stop living in a bubble of your own reality. Start understanding what's out there and start praying against it. We'll get to that in a little while. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Or 2 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know that word perilous is dangerous. Dangerous times. Absolutely fearful, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. You know, Lot was greatly influenced by the evil around him. As he was right in the midst of it, for more on that, listen to that sermon, remember Lot's wife. But in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Do you see this? Totally consumed with evil and wickedness, Sodom was, both young and old. Think about that. Both young and old. Why do you think these high school kids, there's high school kids that will tell you right on the street that they're sodomites. Some of these kids have raped each other in bathrooms there. You see, it's not enough for you to say, you see, preacher, I don't like talking about that stuff. Guess what? I don't like talking about it either. But I'll tell you something else. I sure don't back off into a corner when somebody says, why do you homeschool? How many reasons do you need? Let me start giving them to you. Number one, God says so. Take care of your own children. Number two, I went to public school. And I know how wicked I was. Number three, I've talked to a lot of people. And they've been through a lot of things. Folks, I'm telling you, we just got to get real. We got to always, you can never lose your understanding or let it slip of how dangerous and perilous the days are that we live in. I'm telling you, there are not enough pastors preparing people out there for what is coming. And I'll tell you, the evidence of that is how God is growing this ministry. Because there's not enough. I'm not saying we're the only one, and I'm not being proud. I'm just telling you, they don't want to call people out. They don't want to warn people. They don't want to sound the alarm. They don't want to do it. And that's why God is using this. Why do you think? It's not because of me. It's because of the truth is getting out there. That's why. The truth is getting out there. And people are hearing it and they're waking up and they're saying, hey, listen. Man. I don't hear this anymore. Why? I'm going to show you why. Because they're complacent. They're like Lot. Yeah. They're complacent like Lot. Even Lot was real though. But he was complacent. He was complacent with the times. Didn't want to rock the boat too much. Don't want to say anything. Don't want to upset anything. Well, Lot, tip the whole thing over, please. See, I told you before, I just don't want to rock the boat. I want to tip the whole thing over. That's what I want to do. I don't want to rock it. That's not enough. Tip it all over. Spill it all out. That's right. It needs to be. What does the Bible say about them? Why were they so complacent? I'll tell you why. They were eating and drinking with the wicked. That's why. You know the problem we have today? We've got too much eating and drinking with the wicked. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Going to a restaurant? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about eating and drinking with the damned. I'm talking about going about like Lot did and living your life in this world like nothing is different or nothing has changed or you're not different. And there's no urgency on your life. There's no sense of urgency in you. No separation, that's right. None whatsoever. You know, for all these critics, and there's some, it's interesting. There's more that are a blessing that love to hear the truth. But you know what? For all the critics that are out there, at least with those critics, they know where I stand. They don't have to guess. They don't have to guess where you men stand. They don't have to guess where you stand. You know, wonder what Pastor Cooley thinks about this. Oh, you could know in about 3 seconds most of the time. There's nothing. And if you don't like it, it's fine. But at least you know. And I tried to give you Bible for it. They spent their whole lives in reference to this world. That's what that means. They ate and drank. They ate and drank. The Bible says they ate and drank and were given in marriage, right? What did they do? What were they doing? They were eating and drinking. They spent their whole lives in reference to this world and made no sort of provision for their immortal souls. So it was when the Romans came to destroy Judea. There was a universal carelessness, and no one seemed to regard the warnings given by the Son of God. That is, the inhabitants of the old world ate and drank, not merely in a common way, with moderation, and for the support and comfort of life, which is not to be blameworthy, nor inconsistent with religious exercises, but they lived in an extravagant and luxurious manner. They indulged their sensual appetites and put away the evil day far from them that Noah told them of. Oh, that's, you know, come on. Everything's good. Right? Everything's good. What'd they do? They put away the evil day far from them. Oh, surely not. You know, I was reading a book of quotations from Thomas Brooks. And he was a preacher back in the 1700s. And he said this. He said, no one ever says, I'll wait till I'm an old man to be rich. Right? They want to do it now. He said, why do they wait to get right with God until they're an old man and think that they're going to have that much time to do it? Why do they do that? Why do you wait when the price of your eternal soul is priceless? Why do you wait? Why do you wait till you're old? Why? How long are you going to wait to get serious about God? Whoever listens to this sermon, whether it's in this room and you need it tonight, or whoever it is, how long are you going to wait to get on fire for God? How long are you going to wait? You wouldn't wait for other things, but you'll wait for this. You'll put God off there. Till then, tell me, why do you wait? Why do you wait to get serious about the Lord? We're living in the days of Lot right now, carelessness, eating and drinking with the world, eating and drinking in damnation. Just like the inhabitants of the old world. What'd they do? They lived in luxury. They lived in comfort and luxury and ease and never wanted to inconvenience themselves. Right? Never wanted to inconvenience themselves. Never wanted to be put out any for anything. Least not of all to be put on the spot for the sake of the God of the Bible, right? How about that? Are you eating and drinking with the wicked so much like Lot was that you can't be put out at all to be a different? Oh, I don't want people to think I'm weird or something. They'll think there's something wrong with me. I don't want to. Why can't you be the weird one? That's all I want to know. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's too much eating and drinking with the wicked. That's why. Days of complacency. Hey, they were like, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things are as they were as from the beginning. Right? You know, all these people, I'm saved. Really? Prove it. What are you doing for God? What do you care to do for God? What do you care about his book? What do you care about his people? What do you care about his church? What do you care about the souls of men being saved and delivered from the wrath to come? What do you care about any of those things, huh? How saved are you? What did you get saved from? Did you get saved from a life of sin and wickedness? Did you get saved from lust? Did you get saved from pornography? Did you get saved from a wicked lifestyle? Did you get saved from liquor and lying and cheating and stealing? What did you get saved from? Are those all things part of your life that's normal for you? Why? Because you're eating and drinking with the damned. That's why. The antediluvians and the citizens of Sodom discharged the business of the day and laid their plans for tomorrow and had no thought of evil or anticipation of trouble down to the very moment that the bowels of wrath were poured out upon them. Do you understand that they were right at the brink? Hey, everything's okay. When that flood came in, when fire was poured out on Sodom and Gomorrah, when fire and brimstone was poured down, they ate, they drank, and they married. They passed without intermission from eating to drinking, from drinking to marrying. They followed it close as if it had been their work, and they were born for no other end. Of Ninus, second king of the Assyrians, a nephew happily to these antediluvian belly gods, as it is said, that he was old, excellent, eating and drinking. Cicero tells us that his gut was his god, and Plutarch that he hired men to devise new pleasures for him. Pleasures, pleasure seekers. You know, that's part of the eating and drinking. What does the Bible say? Pleasure, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What would the end times be? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What is that? That's just eating and drinking with the damned. Do you know that people couldn't say, listen, I'm going to get to this, but I'm going to say it right now anyway because it's on my heart to say. You know, there are people right now that say, well, you know, sports aren't evil. Let's just say for a minute they're not. Okay? Let's just say that for a minute they're not. Why in the world would I want to waste my life doing that when I could be out? Why would I want to waste my life going to those games and spending money on those wicked, disgusting, perverted men? Right? Because in reality, they're good at taking a ball and throwing it in a hoop. Or they're good at smacking a ball with a bat. Really? Does that really get you? Does that really thrill your soul, really? Grow up. Grow up. Be a man. Listen, how are you ever going to reach a lost and dying world when you are eating and drinking with the damned? You're right there with them. How are you going to reach them? Answer, you won't. And let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather give up those things, even if they weren't sinful, for Christ, just so you could reach more people? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't it be worth it? So they continued with riotous living in this time with no fear. What we have described here is a period during the days of Noah when the majority were living in blissful unawareness, even while the presence of Noah preaching among them was ignored. They simply continued in sin, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Joseph had foretold the famine of Egypt and the time when it should come, but fullness of bread, forgetfulness, security, none observed or provided for it, no care for what was to come. He warned them all. And what did they still do? They still didn't prepare. Why? Too busy enjoying the pleasures of this life. What do we have? You want to listen, folks. I would love to know the amount of money that Christians spend on sports and entertainment. I would love to know, I mean true born-again believers in our churches, what they spend on sports and entertainment. Those same men are men that complain about giving to the Lord Jesus Christ and giving to his ministry. Do you realize that? They are the same men that will complain about that. You know, why is it that when it comes to the Lord and his church, we can be penny pinchers? When it comes to our pleasures, man, we have no problem spending whatever we want and then some. But we make sure we're a legalist when it comes to giving to God. Think about that for a second. We put a governor on what we do for God, but we don't put one on what we do for our flesh. Some of these men, some say they married on earth, but cared not for those who they married. Like today, with what we see today, they don't recognize God and marriage any longer as a holy institution, do they? They don't recognize his marriage. What do they have? They have prenuptial agreements because they know they're going to divorce somebody. They have all these, they plan on getting a divorce. That's planning on getting a divorce, by the way. When you do that, you're saying, well, I think I'll get a divorce. Just like in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, they bought, they sold, they traded among themselves and with their neighbors. And as it appears from the text it referred to, that they had no regard to the poor and needy. They made no conscience of defrauding and oppressing them. Sodom had fullness of bread and pride and cared not for the citizens or their neighbors. Right? They didn't care for anybody. They didn't care for their neighbors. They didn't care for their citizens. They didn't care for anybody. What did they care about? Getting rich. Sodom was a very rich country, and its land was very fruitful, and it provided great, just like the crops in America, it was very fruitful land, okay? It brought about much fruit. But they builded houses for themselves in posterity. And thus, as the Jewish writers observes of them, in agreement with our Lord's design in all this, being filled with the increase of the earth, they lived in security and peace and tranquility. And what is it in America today? People, born-again believers, are living in what? Peace and tranquility and security, and they are rich and have fullness of bread and have need of nothing, and there is no power of God, no urgency, no urgency at all in these days. None. Poor, blind, and wretched. That's right, naked. Which are their serious loves for their wives. By the way, just so you understand, when it says they were given in marriage, they didn't care about their marriages, okay? They didn't. That's what the Bible is. They didn't care about their marriages, all right? Most of these people, they had serious loves, for their wives were used but to dress their meat, to do their laundry, and for their reputation, saith one that had been among them. Sodomy, saith he, in the Levant, is not held as a vice. A boy was kept for unnatural purposes. Mm-hmm. I know. Because you live in America, you don't think that goes on. I'm telling you. Well, go to any Roman Catholic church. It goes on there. You know, go to any Roman Catholic church. Yeah, Twin Cities, right here. How many? 400 cases reported. What did they use? They used the priesthood to rape children. That's what they did. Right. So it's not new. Okay, it's still going on today. It's not done with. Only they're able to get away with it. They're able to get away with it. No, on this earth anyway, they are. These Sodomites today are wanting the same thing, to have boys for love, and some of these elite rich white people do it right now. But people tell me, you better be careful about preaching about that stuff. Why, it's the truth. I'll be here till God wants me gone. Right. Till then, they're going to be stuck with me. Amen. You'll notice about the days of Lot that marriage is not talked about much, is it? You see that in the days of Lot? Now, in the days of Noah, marriage was talked about. In the days of Lot, it wasn't. Why? They were all a bunch of Sodomites. They were all just a bunch of Sodomites, right? That's pretty much what they were. Cared more for that. Well, I mean, it's proven, isn't it? Look at the case of it. God showed you. The days of Lot were marked with pure perversion. So much so that God firebombed them and destroyed them. How long before? Listen, when's God going to do it to us? We are not guaranteed that this nation will stand forever. We have absolutely no guarantee. This nation could be wiped out in a moment. God could do that. And we would deserve it, and we do deserve it, because this is a wicked nation. Next, the days of Lot were days that needed intercessors. You know, here's one of the problems today. Sometimes we see the wickedness around us, and it makes us cold. Sometimes you and I see how wicked things can be, and it makes us, our hearts, get cold. The Bible says the love of many shall wax cold, Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I've preached on that before, but there's a few different applications of that. But let me tell you something right now. It is real easy for you and I to go home and sit home and stay home and lock ourselves up. Or maybe we'll be like some of these preppers that I'm not against collecting things and saving things. I'm against you going out and hiding somewhere and you just not reaching anybody for Christ because you're scared and you don't love God enough to do something for him, you coward. Tired of that garbage. You following these stupid political pundits and you're going out there and you know what? There's other people that need to be gathered into bodies for the Lord Jesus Christ, for churches to be started. And some of you are hiding out in your house scared of the devil. Right. Why don't you get some power of God on you and go do something for Jesus Christ? Amen. Stop being a coward. You're afraid of Antichrist now. What do you think you're going to do when he comes? You're going to fold like an accordion. That's what you're going to do. You're going to follow hook, line, and sinker with him. You better get out of your cave and get out and preach the gospel. You want to end up like Lot in the days of Lot? Is that who you are? Are you Lot? Are you going to end up in Lot in your cave? What happened to Lot? Look at his life. Is that what you want to be? Go hide in your cave somewhere. Because I'm scared of the world. I'm scared of the Antichrist. No, you better go into your prayer closet and get alone with your God and get the power of God all over you and come out swinging. That's what you better do. That's what every man has to do. Listen, these are days, and those were days that there was a need for an intercessor. Somebody to intercede for them. Don't you understand that? God help your hard heart to intercede for them. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Man, my throat's getting better. Praise the Lord. I found none. I had a sore throat a few days ago, man. I'm feeling great now. I'm going to lose it all over again. Here we go. He said he found none. Why? Because in these end times, the love of many shall wax cold. That's why you see all the evil around you. And it's like, and sometimes you get into a hopeless state where you think, you know what? What good is it going to do? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The results don't matter. Obedience is what God cares about. It's up to the Lord. Psalms 142, verse number 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that should know me. That would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But you know what? In the days of Lot, there was an intercessor. And I want to show you. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17. There was a man that went to God for the most wicked men alive. For the most vile, disgusting perverts you will ever find. For the most grotesque, wicked men you could ever find that wanted to rape holy angels. But there was a man that stood in the gap. There was a man that interceded for the most wicked men in the world. And let me tell you something, friend. I preach hard against that wicked sin of sodomy. I preach hard against wicked sins out there. But we still must intercede for these people. All right, man. It's great to make an excuse like Steven Anderson does. Oh, no, they're reprobates. Nothing can happen. I don't care. Doesn't matter if they are or they're not. Abraham did. Abraham did, didn't he? I'm telling you, I was putting this together and God was breaking my heart when I was putting it together last night. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Man, this is important. Don't miss this verse because this is so important. See, we've got too many Lots today and not enough Abrahams. We got a whole lot of Lots here. I should change the title of this sermon. Say too many Lots and not enough Abrahams. But you know what? We have a lot of Lots here, but we don't have a lot of Abrahams. We need some more Abrahams. Amen. See, you know what the world, you know what we're seeing? These people that want to model themselves after and say, well, look at Lot. Well, look at Lot. Yeah, let's look at Lot. Why do you want to be like him? You ought to want to be like Abraham. Obviously be like Christ, but you understand, in the example of this story, to be like Abraham. Seeing that Abraham shall become, surely, now look at this verse number 19, for I know him. God said he knew him. God says, I know him. This ought to be your prayer, friend. This, hey, are you listening to me? This ought to be your prayer tonight. This should be your prayer tonight. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Is that you? Is that you? Will you command your children and your household after him? And they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Uh-oh. Here's that judge not. What did he say he would do? Justice and judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. By the way, that's the same promise spoken to you, the spiritual one. Amen. Spiritual promises. Dear Lord in heaven, please help us, because we need some intercessors tonight. Those that will stand in the gap for the wicked. My friend, this world needs some men and women that love God and that will stand up and intercede. Not that want to be like Lot and go along so everybody loves them and their family and everybody, all their friends love them and nobody thinks they're weird and nobody thinks they're different and nobody has a problem. But they will be like Abraham and they will intercede. They will stand up. Man, what happened to Abraham? Well, I'm not going to cover this, but you know what? In the chapter before that, he had to go rescue Lot's sorry hide, didn't he? Lot's sorry, sinful hide got hijacked and got taken. He had some terrorism there, didn't he? He had some terrorists grab him and take him away, didn't he? He was a hostage, right? What'd Abraham do? Man, get the swords, let's go! That's what he did, didn't he? Recovered everything, and Lot. Bible never says Lot tried to fight a bit, does it? Man, doesn't say he tried to fight a bit. What does that remind me of? A lot of people that don't like this type of preaching. I'm going to tell you why you don't like it, because it holds you accountable. When you listen to it, even if you don't like it, you listen to it and you know there's truth in it, and you say, oh, I can't stand that. Why? Because you can't stand the truth. That's why. Because you don't want to obey God. Every person I've had to have has a problem with me, for the most part, it's an authority issue. Hey, I'm not saying I haven't got out of line. I've had to apologize. I've done that too. I've asked forgiveness from you, some of you. And I've got online, and I've asked for forgiveness, and I've got things right. I've changed positions on things I was wrong about and many other things. But I'll tell you what, the bulk of it, they try to write up a facade and make it about, oh, well, you said it this way, and I don't like how that was said, and you said it this way. No, I'm going to tell you what you have a problem with. You have a problem with biblical authority and men speaking with authority. That's what you have a problem with. Why? Because your sorry rear end's not going to do right. That's why. You don't want to do right, and you're not going to do right. So you got to be mad about something. So you got to find something in there that you can pull out to try to use. Why? Because you're just like Lot. That's why. We need some men to stand in the gap for the wicked. This world needs it bad. But you know what? The thing I notice here, number one, first, they must be faithful men. God said he knew him. He said he'd be faithful. He'll do right. Man, don't try to go stand up if you're not even going to be faithful to God. You know what? Faithful to the house of God, faithful to the preaching of God's word, faithful to your prayer life, faithful to knowing God. Amen? To being the friend of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God says, I know Abraham. He'll do right. He'll order his house. Can he say that about you? Will you order your house? Hold after you? Will you set things in order? They got to be faithful, man. God said he wouldn't hide from Abraham what he was going to do, because he would command his house, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Look, God didn't tell you to be like Sodom or the world to reach the world. Like I've had people say, oh, you know, you mean like Lot? Every time I hear people say that, like this Canvas Church garbage right here, from the pits of hell right here, from the abyss here, just from the bottomless pit right here, this garbage. Anyway, what are they doing here? This is Lot. That's what this is. This is Lot. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you can mark it down. Put it down. Put it on your video. I don't care. Here it is. Antichrist right here. Come talk to me about it. No problem whatsoever calling out Antichrist ministries that use as is above, so is below signs. Okay? There you go. Okay? Thank you. All right. Anyway, I just have no reservation about doing that. I don't. Anyway, listen to me. What is that? That's Lot. That's what that is. That's all that is. That's Lot. We're not to be that way. How effective was that? You made yourself more like Sodom, Lot. No, he didn't do that well. He lost his wife to Sodom. She turned back and wanted Sodom. Sodom was in her heart. I want to preach a message sometimes, Sodom in their hearts. But anyway, she had Sodom in her heart. And what happened? His daughters, the unnatural affection showed. It impacted them. So you want to go ahead and be that way to reach the world? No, you're to be like Abraham. Abraham warred against that stuff. Abraham's like, I don't want any of your money. What, the king of Sodom? Then they tried to give Abraham money, didn't they, when he went off and had the war and he fought and he took all this stuff back? They tried to pay Abraham. Abraham said, I don't want any of your money, lest you say you made Abraham rich. I don't want none of your garbage. I don't want your worldly stuff. I don't want anything about you. Just give me the stuff and I'm getting out of here, but I don't want nothing to do with you. What do we have today, though? Nation full of a Christian group of people today in America that they name the name of Christ, but they're more like Lot and they have no power. They're not sold out to Christ, but they're mingled with the world. They're eating and drinking with the wicked is what they're doing. They're not keeping the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, but they're mingled with Sodom. You can't intercede for Sodom if you're running with them. Doesn't work. You can't eat and drink with the damned and have any influence on them. But look at Abraham. He interceded. He found out God was going to destroy the cities. And man, he wanted to see them get saved before judgment came. You know, he didn't want God to destroy the city. Amen? Abraham did not want God to destroy Sodom. He wanted them to be spared. Why? That they might repent. That's the heart of somebody that is interceding, the intercessor. That's the heart of them. Listen, we go out and preach. My friend, if your heart is just a heart of condemnation, then that's you get a kick out of telling people how wicked they are. If that's your heart, friend, you better get it right with God. You don't have the heart of an intercessor. You don't have that heart. You have a wrong heart. You have a wrong spirit. You ought not go out with just that intent. You ought to go out with that intent that you would want them to repent, that you would want them to believe, that you would want them to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Not that you feel better about telling them how wicked they are. Not that you can get that off of your chest. My friend, that's not the right motive to go preach the word of God. The right motive is to warn them out of obedience to Christ and to warn them that they are dying in their sins. Do you understand who this man was interceding for? Do you get it? Abraham knew how wicked it was in Sodom. Why do you think he wasn't there? These are men who wanted to rape angels, both young and old. A city of wicked, devil-possessed men. And he interceded on their behalf. Think about that. Turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse number 20. See how he pleads for these wicked men. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham stayed there. Those men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. And Abraham drew near and said to God, he stood before the Lord. He stayed there with the Lord. Think about that. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Man, it sounds like Abraham is tarrying in prayer for them, isn't he? He is begging God. He was begging God. Abraham said, that be far from thee to do after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Listen to him. Abraham, man, he's not stopping. Abraham didn't stop there. He didn't give up. Oh, well, my intercession failed. I've prayed for people and it failed, so I'm going to stop praying. I've prayed for my mom, my dad, my cousin, my sister, these other people that are lost and dying in their sins. But hey, guess what? I tried, so it's over now. So God release me from this burden and let them all go to hell. Is that it? Nope. I'm going to tell you something right now. You may not like to hear this, but your family should be one of your number one priorities to pray for. Those that are around you, those that I don't care how antichrist wicked they are, you better be praying for them every day, because they need to be saved. Don't you ever give up on them. As long as there's breath in you, you keep crying out to God. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. What is this man doing? He is pleading with God. God, don't destroy those people. Why? Because he knew what judgment was coming. He knew what was going to happen to them. He knew their plight. My friend, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you forget the plight of the lost, you will be the most hard-hearted jerk in the world. You'll become self-righteous and think you're better than others when you forget the plight of those that are lost. You'll think you're better than somebody. Oh, no, not better. Just forgiven. And he spake unto them yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. See, for you in your mind, you're thinking, you're just reading this like Ben Stiller or somebody. Not Ben Stiller. What's that guy's name? The guy on... Ben Stein, yeah, like, you know, like the dry eyes guy. You know, you're just kind of reading it, right? I call him the dry eyes guy. You see the commercial, dry eyes, that guy, yeah, that guy. That's what you're thinking in your mind, that's how, no, friend. Abraham is pleading with God. He is absolutely pleading with God. He is standing there in front of me, he is pleading with him. God, don't let this nation go to hell. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if for 20's sake. And he said, O Lord, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. You think being like Lot is worthy to brag about? You know, too many preachers make people feel good about that. They make people feel good about that. Well, yeah, you know, you said a prayer a long time ago. Your life hasn't changed, but you know something? Don't worry about that. You're saved. You're okay. There's no fruit in your life. There's no repentance in their life. There's no power of God in your life. There's not a trace of the Holy Ghost anywhere in your life. But hey, listen, you're doing just fine. Right. Lot was saved. You're saved. That's dangerous, friend. You know, it's a shame to be a Lot. It's a shame to be like him. If Lot was being the follower of God that he should have been, God would not have had to send angels to get him out of Sodom. They would have thrust him out of Sodom, or he would have been martyred in Sodom. Right? All that can be said of Lot is that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. What can be said of Abraham is he's a friend of God. And what did he do? He interceded for the most wicked people in the world. But he still took it upon himself to speak to God and to beg God and to cry out to God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's it. That's all that's said about Lot. And he didn't intercede for them. He didn't try to reach them. Why? Well, he was too busy at ease in Sodom. That's why. He was too busy living on fullness of bread and enjoying the rich luxury of America. I mean Sodom. Enjoying the luxuries of America and not willing to suffer some reproach outside of the camp for the cause of the God of the Bible. He wasn't willing to do that. Like many today are not willing to suffer the reproach of men. So they hide themselves into church buildings and they hide there and they won't go out into the world and preach the gospel to those that are out there. Right. Oh, because it's not effective and it doesn't work. Sad days. You know what it really is? They don't want to feel ashamed by lifting up their voice in the open air. They don't want to have somebody come in and contest what they're saying. They don't want to have somebody interrupt them. They wouldn't know how to handle it. They wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't want to get into a confrontational situation for the cause of Christ. So they're like Lot. You know, perhaps if Lot... You know, Lot was so close to them that he couldn't be used of them. He couldn't be used of God. He was like an undercover believer. Nobody around him knew that he was righteous. Why do you think they came up to his house? They were like, hey, this is business as usual. You got new people in town? We're going to rape them. Why do you think? Because that was just the way Sodom was. Right? No surprise. Lot wasn't any different. Right? Perhaps if Lot, though, would have obeyed his God and interceded for those wicked men, Sodom could have been spared. But not one convert came from Sodom. Do you understand that? Not one. Abraham got down to 10. Lord, if there's just 10, suppose Abraham thought in his mind, maybe, just maybe, Lot has reached his sons-in-law and their family, and that'll be the 10 that's there. And maybe that, and that'll be the 10 that's there. Because surely my nephew Lot, who knows the truth, who knows the God of the Bible, who's seen the power of God, who's a just man, who's been saved by that God of the Bible before, who I delivered out of them with the swords, and he saw the power of God, surely that man witnessed to his sons-in-law and that family, and surely there's 10 people in Sodom that are saved. Nope. The Bible doesn't even say that Lot's daughters were righteous. And there isn't much fruit to say they are. And his wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Because he wasn't willing to intercede. I'm sure Abraham thought for surely Lot wouldn't marry his daughters off to pagan homosexual loving men. Surely Lot wouldn't do that. He knows the truth. He wouldn't do that. Surely Lot has at least reached his sons-in-law and their families. You know, the Bible never says that Lot tried. But it shows us that Abraham tried. He begged and pleaded with God to save those men alive. If there could be found 10 righteous men in the city, and there could not be found 10 righteous men in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham interceded. Listen, friend, let me tell you something. God knows America is vile. God knows it's vile. God knows these men are vile. There's vile sodomites, child molesters, wicked, godless, awful, heathen, pagan men out there today. God knows. But we need to intercede in prayer and fasting and preaching. We have to. If we don't, who will? Are you going to depend on somebody else to do it? Listen, God knows these people deserve the lake of fire. But we still need to go. We still need to preach. We still need to pray. We still need to intercede on their behalf. We have the responsibility to be like Abraham, to live for God and be faithful in our families and teach them the commands of the Lord. And those commands, they come with separation. That means we don't run with the world. We don't run the same places they do. We don't go the same places they go. We don't do the same things they do. We don't follow their pagan customs and their pagan traditions of men. We don't follow them. We don't follow the way of the heathen. Why? Because we're different. We're separated. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Remember this. This is your responsibility in the days of Lot. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. I hope that can be said about you and I. Too many that are supposed to be interceding are distracted with the cares of this life. How can you intercede when you're so distracted? The Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know why you're not in the war? You know why so many people out there that even will listen to this, you know why you're not in the war? Because you're entangled with the affairs of this life and you can't fight. You can't war a good warfare. You're too tangled. You better cut the world. You better cut those chains, right? Those sins that so easily beset you, those weights and sins that so easily beset you, cut them and run that you might obtain. Too many people eating and drinking with the damned today to reach them. Going about the same living, no distinction, no separation, distracted with bread and circuses. America, it's embarrassing. I'm telling you, it's embarrassing. Our country, and even Christians, when you see them and they are so excited about telling you how Christian they are, going into a hockey game where people beat each other half to death, and going to these UFC events and these other things, and all these things that people are violent and everything else. Right? Hey, I used to watch it till I repented of all that stuff. I'm not thinking I'm better than anybody. Distracted with bread and circuses. Next and last, the days of Lot were days of judgment being nigh at the door. You know, these people, they're in plight. They're in trouble. They're in wickedness. And they've got judgment coming at the door. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse number 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Well, who's in that? Well, my friend, if judgment comes, or when judgment comes, not if, when it comes, when judgment comes, your lost family members are in there. See why it's important to be different? See why it's important to be separated? See why it's important to stand for something? You know, I always get funny when somebody thinks we go too far. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. Oh, you guys go too far. You know, Christmas you know, you don't like Christmas and you preach against these holidays and you know, you're out there preaching in the open air and all these other things and you stay separated. You won't go to movies and Hollywood and all that. You know, that's just really extreme. Really? No, it's not extreme enough. Okay? Come on. Give me a break. It's terrible. It's not enough. We should be doing more. We should be doing more in our lives for the Lord, not less. And not being ashamed of a standard or separation that we hold to. And by the way, Hollywood is not a standard that we hold to. Hollywood, abstaining from Hollywood is just obeying, it's our reasonable service. It's not even deep Christianity. Okay? It's not even deep Christianity. Staying away from the wicked vices and television, the wickedness and sports, that's not even deep Christianity. That is surface stuff, man. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The days of Lot were marked with days of judgment. We see the fire and brimstone fell from heaven, destroying them, and we see Noah and the flood. And in Matthew 24, verse number 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In Luke 17, 26, as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Listen, God is going to destroy these souls. Remember their plight. We have to pray for them, weep for them, and care for even the vilest of sinners. And then put some feet to our prayers and go preach to them all the words of this life. Remember this. This is coming one day. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Preacher, that's right, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Two ways, preached with his life and with his mouth. Amen. Noah was a preacher. Well, he didn't have very many converts. Was he effective? Was his method effective? What did he do? You know that Noah, all he did was preach judgment. What was the matter with him? Judgment, judgment, judgment. You know what they were saying? Noah, stop judging. There's no such thing as rain, Noah. You know, right up as Noah, they mocked him right up as the door was closing of the ark. And when they felt that on their face, the reality of the truth started to set in. And as they probably flee to the mountains and went wherever they could to try to escape it, and they thought they'd hold it off as the rain filled, and as the blood, as the water came up and filled their lungs, and they drowned. Think about that. As they drowned and died. How long before they died, when they knew that judgment was coming, do they remember that preacher's warning? That preacher of righteousness. What did he preach to them? Righteousness. Judgment is coming. You better repent. God's going to destroy this earth. He didn't have one convert. And he was an open-air preacher. For hundreds of years, building that ark. We think, anyway, 120 years, some people say. That's a long time to preach without a convert. It's a long time to preach without a convert, isn't it? But that's not very effective. Well, you know what? Noah was obeying God, and he never lost his burden for those. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. Then it says here, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The flood's coming. The fire's coming on the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. Condemn them with an overthrow. Making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter's telling you about all this judgment that was coming, Sodom and Gomorrah, but guess what? Abraham was there to intercede. Noah interceded for that world that was lost. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the days of God, of the day of God, excuse me, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, that's what we have to look forward to. They have the lake of fire to look forward to. So what is the message in the days of Lot? Go preach the truth. Intercede for them. Yes, it's vile and wicked in America. Yes, it's nasty in America. Yes, people are sinners. Yes, they're gospel hardened. And yes, they're hardened their sin. And you've got sons and daughters and family members and moms and dads and cousins and nieces and nephews and friends and neighbors and relatives and everyone you know. And they are wicked and they are vile and they're God haters and they're molesters, some of them. And some of them are homosexuals and they're vile perverts, some of them are. But you know what? God still says that you're responsible for it. Interceding on their behalf. But you've got to cry out to God. You've got to cry out to God on their behalf. You've got to. God will not hold you blameless. What did God say about that? He said to cry out for the righteous, or cry out for the wicked, and if the wicked man doesn't turn from his way, but you warned him that his blood will not be upon your hands. But if you warn him not, you're going to suffer loss of reward. You better think about that. You better also think about them spending an eternity in the lake of fire. No matter how mean and nasty and ugly they are to you. You know what our response ought to be to the most wicked, vilest sinners out there that spit in our face, that get angry with me? Get angry with us. You know what it ought to be? We ought to look right at him and we ought to say this: Sir, you just spit on me, but it's worth it all that you have a warning for your soul. Not returning railing for railing, right? Not having a comeback line for him, but saying, you know what? You couldn't do enough to me for it not to be worth me warning you for what's ahead for you in the lake of fire. For all of eternity. What is that? That's the heart of an intercessor. That's the heart of somebody that wants to intercede on behalf of others. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. And you know something? For all the critics out there and everybody else that doesn't like preaching, they don't like the preaching of God's word, they don't like how hard I preach, and all those other things, for those people, let me say this. You better get some urgency about you, and you better warn some people. Because hell awaits them. Right. Hell might be awaiting you too. You might be lost. You might be deceived by the devil and think you're born again, but you've never had the power of God in your life. You've never been supernaturally changed. You got some religion a long time ago, but you didn't get Christ. I'm telling you what, if you meet Christ, your life will never be the same again. And if you can go on living in this world and business as usual and live like the devil and care not for the house of God and care not for the people of God, then my friend, the reason why you're mad at this message is it's for you. And you need to repent and believe the gospel. And may God break your hard heart. And it'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you for your word. Help us to intercede on behalf of these lost loved ones, Lord, these family members, these friends, these neighbors, Lord, this community. Lord, they hate the gospel. They hate the truth of it. But, Lord, they need it, and they're dying and going to hell. And, dear God, break our hearts that we would give them the truth, that we would plead with you to save their souls. Oh, Lord, they're dropping in hell. Every day, every second, every moment they're dropping in hell. God, break our hearts for lost sinners. Help us not to be hardened, Lord. Help us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but help us not to be hard-hearted. Help us never to be hard-hearted, Lord, but to always be ready to intercede on their behalf in prayers, in supplication, in preaching, and in begging you to save their souls before it's too late. In these wicked days of the coming of the Son of Man that we live in.